God.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. I want y'all to help me lift up a name.
Hallelujah.
I want you to help me lift up a name.
Lord,
a name that's above every name.
Yes.
Let this name roll off of your mouth.
Jesus.
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 You're my Savior. Jesus. Jesus. You're my healer. Jesus.
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 Jesus. Jesus, say it from your heart.
Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus. Let the peace of God just rest on you.
Jesus.
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 Jesus. I choose to do this. This is my choice.
Jesus.
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 Jesus. Let me tell you a story before we approach the word this morning. Smith Wigglesworth was called to the house of this dying woman. She was on her deathbed, body shriveled up to nothing. There were people that were already there, and they were praying around the bed. And some were saying, Lord, give strength to the husband. Other ones praying, Lord, give strength to the children. Smith Wigglesworth started praying under his breath, Lord, shut their mouth. Lord, shut their mouth. Then it come his time to pray. And he started praying. Jesus appears, his face over top of the bed. The woman, the power of God comes into the room. She's raised up from a deathbed. The people that were in the room prayed said, why didn't our prayers work like that? His answer was, you prayed looking at the woman. I prayed looking at Jesus.
Amen.
Now, there are some words that we need to catch in that. Because a lot of times we think that we're going to get our answer just because we pray. But sometimes our prayers, just as prayer goes, is just full of doubt and unbelief. That was what was taking place in that room. That was the reason that he said under his breath, Lord, shut their mouth. Because all that they were doing was filling the room with unbelief. Let me give you an example from the scripture. When Jesus came to Jairus' house and his daughter was 12 years old and dead, Jesus put them out. There was only a few that he allowed to go with him to where he was going. He put the other ones out. Why did he put them out? Because doubt and unbelief had to get out in order for the power of God to have residence. Doubt and unbelief had to get out. Now, a lot of times we find ourselves in places where we in the church still operate some in doubt and unbelief. But for a victory to take place, for a miracle to take place, there's things that's got to be put out. And through the putting out of them, we put ourselves in a position These people that were around this woman's bed loved God. They believed in prayer. They believed that God could do it. But they didn't necessarily believe that He would do it. And He speaks. See, brothers and sisters, there's something that takes place different with individuals when they've been in the presence of God. There's a lot of difference in being in church and being in the presence of God. Because when you get in the presence of God, things change. They change inside of you. They change in the church. They change in bedrooms. They change in houses. They change in communities. There's something that happens in the presence of God. There's something that happens in the presence of God.
Yes,
let me say it again. There's something that happens in the presence of God. And there was a boldness that was in his heart and in his mouth because he had been in the presence of God.
Amen.
That's why he recognized what was taking place in that room. And that's why he spoke, "Lord, shut their mouths." He didn't say, "Strike them dead because they're talking doubt and unbelief." But what they needed to see was the power of God in demonstration. They needed to see somebody that was in that had been in the presence of God. Brothers and sisters, let us be that one. Let us be that one. Let us be that one. So, where y'all been today? I've been in church. Let us be that one. I've been in the presence of God.
Yep.
I've been in the presence of God. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Now, for us to be in the presence of God, we've got to plug in. Amen? Mm-hmm. We the ones got to do the plugging. Not plugging along. Plugging in.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 10. Can you say glory to God?
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Can you say glory to God again?
Glory
Hallelujah.
To God.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Are you there? 2 Corinthians 10. We're going to start reading in verse number 1. But that's not going to be the main place that we're going to be. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you, by the meekness and the gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent as a am bold toward you, I beseech you that you may not be bold when I am present with that confidence. Wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walk according to the flesh. Now catch these words here. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Pray with me. Father, I ask that you would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. The eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we would know what's the hope of your calling and what's the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints and what's the exceeding greatness of your power to us who believe, according to the working of your mighty power, which you wrought in Christ when you raised him from the dead and set him at your own right hand in heavenly places. And ask that you grant us, according to the riches of your glory, to be strengthened with might by your Spirit in our inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what's the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, so that we'd be filled with all the fullness of God. Holy Spirit, I asked you for divine utterance this morning. I ask that you would help me to communicate the heart of the Father to us, your people. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Now here, in these passages of Scripture, he's drawing the church's attention to something. And there's a word that's used, flesh. Flesh. And a lot of times, we in the church world, a lot of times when we think of works of the flesh, we think of something like fornication and adultery and sexual sins and sexual perversions. But I'm going to tell you what, the flesh has to do with more than just this particular area. This particular area is part of it, but this particular area is not all of it. Now, what the word is talking about when it's talking about the flesh, the carnal nature, he's talking about things that we contact through the five physical senses. Our senses is what brings us into contact with this natural realm that we live in. Now, before I proceed any further, I want to say something about us that a lot of times the church has forgot all about. Because a lot of times we read about a moral code that's in the Bible. And we think that if we can catch the moral code that we've got the whole gist of the Bible. But I want to tell us, the Bible is a whole lot more than just a moral code. The Apostle Paul said it like this. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It won't just tell you about salvation. It will deliver the goods. It will deliver the goods. It will deliver the goods. It won't just tell you about it. It will deliver the goods. A person can get born again by the gospel. T.L. Osborne asked this question. He said, church thinks it needs more power. Yeah, Lord, I need more power in my life. I need more power in my life. And he said, no, it's not more power that you need. It's more gospel that you need. For the gospel is the power of God. The gospel is the power of God. Well, I want the power, but I don't really need that gospel. You can't get it without the gospel. It's revealed in the gospel. The gospel is how it comes. Just like those people that were in that room with Smith Wigglesworth. And they were praying because they thought their answer was just in prayer. We're very church in just praying. But at some point in time in that praying, there's got to be some believing. Amen. And there's got to be some speaking. And there's got to be an agreement with what God says in His Word. If not, all we're doing is we're bringing a moral code into this situation, and we're trying to change the situation with just a moral code. And somebody on a deathbed ain't going to be raised up by a moral code. They're going to be raised up by the power of God. Amen? So let's hook our faith into what God is saying here when He's talking about, and He's saying something to us. Because the church in our day has been reduced down to a powerless bunch of people that are just walking in a faith in God, but not walking in any power. Why don't we draw a line in the sand today and say, I don't want to identify with that group no more. I want to be one of the ones that's walking in the power. Well, that's a step in the right direction. We'll just get more spirit. And then we'll get it. No. The power of God is revealed in the gospel. Now, I don't want to take anything away from the Holy Spirit, because you can't get the revelation of the gospel without Him. Because He's the great teacher. He's the one that lives on the inside of us. See, there's words, there's scriptures that we have that we need to speak over ourselves. But at the same time we're speaking them, we need to be believing them. And as we believe them and give place to them and allow them to rise up and to swell up and to get big inside of us, we want these truths as we think on them and as we meditate. What happens, they become a part of us. And as they become a part of us, things change. Because Catherine Kuhlman was sitting on one side of the grave and just so broken because of walking through life. And there's different experiences that we've walked through in life that have left us in places like that. But God says it doesn't have to stay like this. You can let it stay like this. You say, well, why doesn't He change it? Because I've got to get on the page with Him. What a lot of times what the church is at is expecting God to do is to, God, you come get on the page with me. And God says, you get on the page with me. Because God's ways are perfect. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And for us to walk in change in our life, it ain't something that God's got to do. It's something that we've got to do to get on the page with Him. And one of the things we had to do is humble ourselves that we say, I ain't got all of this figured out. But a lot of times we just a stiff neck and God says something, I don't want to do it like that. I don't have to do it like that. And the truth of the matter is, you don't have to do it like that, but if you want to walk in victory, you do have to do it like that.
Yes,
that's good preaching right there.
Yes.
I don't want to do it like that. And he said, yeah, but if your situation changes, you're going to have to do it like that. Something's got to move. Something's got to move. If God ain't going to change, who's got to do the change? See, that was something that Catherine Kuhlman saw by herself when she was sitting on the side of that grave in her broken condition. God, if you can do anything with me, take me and use me. She was positioning herself. See, a lot of times somebody can't be used by God until they find themselves in a place like that. It's not the only way. But a lot of times it comes to that. But we've got to realize that we need His help. And He's the only one that can help us out of our predicament, out of our circumstance.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
But a lot of times we've been so associated with walking in this carnal nature and listening to our flesh and our reasoning. And our imagination of what our mind tells us to do. Because this mind is a powerful tool. It can either be an asset or a liability. Whether it's in the church or out of the church. Whether it's in Christ or out of Christ. And a lot of times the way that we have deluded our mind in past in life, those things, they were belief systems that kept us in these places. That's why we walk that way, because that was my belief. But now, I'm a born again one. And I can't have that same belief system that I had before. Not to walk in the victory that God's got for me to walk in. Something's got to change. God ain't changing. God is God, and God don't ever change. Well, I want it to change for me. God is God, and God don't ever change my situation. I want him to do this. God is God, and God don't never change. What's got to change? Can you do the hokey pokey? What's got to change? Can you do the hokey pokey? It weren't the dance then. It was pointing at our head. Because he gives some revelation here that can be so transforming for the body of Christ. If we will catch what he's saying to us in these words. For we walk not after the flesh. We do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And then he gives some words here. These are words that the church needs to grab a hold of. We need to sink our teeth into them. We need to cherish them, and we need to hold on with all our heart. Casting down imaginations. Casting down imaginations. Casting down imaginations. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Another translation uses, in imaginations, it uses this word, reasonings. Reasonings. See, with your mind, you can reason yourself into the will of God, or you can reason yourself out of the will of God. We have that ability to be able to do that, whether we think that we can or not. We can. Reasonings. Now, I was at a retreat one time, and I was listening to these here preachers, and they were talking on the subject of tithing. And what they said was this: we didn't have the money to tithe, so we said we won't tithe. And when it come time to pay our bills, we didn't have the money to pay the bills either. He said the next month come around, we decided it was better for us to pay our tithes, to bring our tithes. He said, and I caught this coming from the ministers. And it wasn't in a setting. This was just in, they were just in a group, and they were just talking one to another. There weren't very many of them. And what they said was this. They reasoned themselves one way that I can't pay my tithes. And then they reasoned themselves with this one. They said, we can't afford not to pay our tithes. We can't afford not to pay our tithes. You said, why is that? What's such the big deal, David, about that there? Can I give you another example of it that I heard another testimony of a minister talking about his family and how tithing played out? He said, my grandchildren were over swimming pool. They were swimming. They looked around for her daughter and couldn't find her. They looked down in the pool and her hair had gotten caught in the thing in the bottom of the pool. That's not a good day, whether you're a Christian or not a Christian. That is a bad day. And the daddy jumps in. Her hair's tangled all in. She can't get herself free. He gets her out, he puts her up, she's already turned blue. And he cries out something. He says, God, I'm a tither. that you would rebuke the devourer. They had called the paramedics and all to come. He said when that day spoke these words, her body jumped up off the concrete. Breath came back into her body. The paramedics checked her out. They had already called her in as dead. So they had to take her in. When they took her in, there was a doctor outside of the emergency room waiting. And he says, "Where's she at?" She gets off the thing and she's walking there and they're pointing over here like this. And brothers and sisters, I'm still talking about the subject of reason. Reason. If I do this, this is the way that I'm going to end up. Because that's the way that this natural mind thinks, and that's the way that this natural mind operates. But I want us to see something about ourselves a lot of times that we don't grasp is we've got dual citizenship. Not only are you a citizen of this world, and it takes this natural body to make contact with this natural world, you're also a spirit being that is ready to go and be with Jesus right now. Amen. So everything about the laws that govern these natural laws, they're subject to change if God says something about them that's greater than what this natural law is. Now, He's given us the choice. We can believe whichever way we want to believe. You can follow after God any way that you want to follow after God. But I can promise you this, the results won't be the same. The results will not be the same. Because this same mind that can reason to follow after God is the same mind that can reason not to follow after God. So this doctor checks out this little girl. And he asked his questions about her, what had happened and all, and he told her what had happened. Or she told him what had happened. And she said these words. She said, "I'm just like Jesus." Can you imagine that doctor saying? "You're just like Jesus," said. "I was dead, and now I'm alive." He raised me from the dead.
Yes.
You say it didn't work like that in my situation. Will you let what's happened to you be your identity, or will you allow the Word of God to take its proper place? Thank you. See, there's a lot of times that we've tried to answer the Word of God by our situation, and we've let our situation dictate to us what's got to be the outcome in this. And what we've done, we've allowed a reasoning or an imagination, a picture of that to keep us trapped. Or to keep us here instead of moving on with God. And there's things, brothers and sisters, we've all walked through different things that have been very painful and very hard in our life. But our identification is not just in what we have been through. Our identification is in Christ. And put yourself in this place. Let your mind imagine this. Let your reasonings imagine this. If Jesus was here, could that hold him? You would say, "No, that couldn't hold Jesus." Well, then imagine a little bit farther. I am in Christ, and Christ is in me, and if it can't hold him, it can't hold me. Amen? Now, we've got our choice with our reasoning, but with what we've got to do, we've got to let our imagination do what it's supposed to do. Now, I have heard this other testimony And this lady was teaching, but she was saying that this minister was talking to a bunch of Bible school students. And he looked at them with tears in his eyes because of something that he has experienced in his own life. See, a lot of times that experience that's in our life can either be the thing that's our downfall or the things that's used to make us. And a lot of times what happens with people is God's trying to do something in us and we won't never turn it loose. We hold on to the past and then it thinks that our future's going to change. Well, your future ain't going to change unless you turn it loose of something that's got the potential to hold you back so that the power of God can move you forward. See, it's the power of the gospel. And here was the story. He's up here and he's teaching these students. And he looks down on them. And you know that in the students there's a freshness and there's a vitality, because people that go somewhere because they want to go there, there's something that rises up inside of them because you're hooked in. Because you're doing something that you want to do. Amen. And you believe that God's going to do something for you if you're going to Bible school. And you've hooked in. Because that's why it was amazing to me when I went to Bible school that the amount of people that don't plug in. Because a lot of times people do just like in Bible school, just like they do in church. We think that we're going to get what we're going to get because we attended. No, you ain't going to get it just because you came. You're going to get it because you open your ears and your heart to receive. And when you open your heart and your ears to receive, you don't have to worry about God disappointing you. Because He will always come through. Amen. That's why Jesus said, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the church." Because the measure that we measure it out, or the measure that we open up these ears and our hearts to receive, is a measure that it's like we got it all shut and say, "God, tell me something." Sometimes we're a lot thicker than we think we are. So, this man is up there and he starts talking. Tears is in his eyes as he gives this story. He said, "I was the pastor of a church. I wasn't always the teacher in the Bible school." He said, "And there was this precious couple that was there, and they were young and they had small children. And the husband had gotten sick and was in the hospital. And he died. And the Spirit of God was dealing with him. And he says, I want you to go speak over that man and raise him from the dead." And he starts reasoning. He starts getting all of these imaginations. Because imaginations of failure, imaginations of being rejected, will hold us in places that God can want to do something and can't do something because He's got to have somebody that will cooperate with Him. So this is a picture of the negative side of the imagination. So he hears what the Spirit of God speaks to him. And the Spirit of God is a spirit. And how does He speak to us? He speaks to us in our spirit. This is one of the things that a lot of times in the church we have no clue about. But the Bible speaks of it, that we are an integrated system. We are a spirit man that has a soul and lives in a body. But a lot of times we think that all we got is a head and a body. Well, if you're born again, you got a spirit, man, that's been made alive to God. Sometimes doctors and stuff don't even know this stuff. It's not revealed by medical science. It's been revealed by the Word of God. You can't get all your answers in a hospital. You can't get all your answers in a doctor's office. But you can get your answers in the Word of God. You can get your answers in the Word of God. See, a lot of times what we associate health with is going to the doctor. But one of the things that I have associated going to the doctor with, and I'm not knocking it, is they'll keep coming you back, coming back. And if he tells you to come back on Monday, you'll be back Monday. And if he tells you to come back on Wednesday, you'll be back Wednesday. And if he tells you to come back Friday, you'll come back Friday. And when you come back, you'll be broke. And you'll say, I wonder how in the world I got in this situation. Because as long as they can keep you coming back, they'll keep you coming back. Yep. If they don't keep you coming back on a regular basis, at least he'll push you off for 3 months. Then he'll push you off for 6 months. But I can promise you this, it's a good chance he ain't turning you loose. You know why? You the cash cow. You the cash cow. So, he starts reasoning. And the Spirit of God has spoke something to him. And he's starting to talk himself out of it. And when he finishes, he has successfully talked himself out of it. And when he got home, his wife starts telling him, the Spirit of God is dealing with me that you need to go speak over this man and raise him from the dead. And he takes his reason and he talks her out of what the Spirit of God has said to her. He said, and it wasn't a big deal. It wasn't a big deal. He said, until the day of that funeral. He said, and I had to stand up here. And I looked at that young family whose lives had just fallen apart because an integral part of their family was gone. And he said, I could have done something about it. And I didn't. See, every reasoning is not always to that extent. But it usually starts out in smaller areas. In smaller areas. And then it gets bigger, and it gets bigger, and it gets bigger. Now, a lot of times what happens in the reasonings is what gets bigger is the doubt and the unbelief. The doubt and the unbelief. The doubt and the unbelief. Moses had just led the children of Israel. Don't you think for a minute that Jesus wasn't involved in it because he's the Word. The Word's always been. Let them out supernaturally out of Egypt. Crossed the Red Sea. Supernaturally provided for them while they're in the wilderness. Brought them all the way, Johnny, to the promised land. There ain't nothing separating them but the Jordan River. So they think. So they think. So they think. It wasn't the Jordan River that was separating them from the promised land. It was doubt and unbelief. But thank God there's a remedy for doubt and unbelief. It may have had its place in us. But thank God it doesn't have to stay. Because on the other side of doubt and unbelief, just like it was with Catherine Kuhlman, that through her brokenness, and she didn't see how it can ever change, but her heart cries out to God. And God sees somebody that he can trust. That he can trust. Have I got any people in here listening to me that God can trust? Amen. Have I got any people in this house that God can trust?
Yeah.
Yes.
Because that's not the way that it ended up with her. Just because something started out a certain way or changed midstream, or no matter where you find yourself at today, let the Word of God and the Spirit of God speak something to our hearts to raise us up, to grab a hold of that thing, to have hope again, to let faith rise in our hearts, to go on with God. Yes. Amen? Amen? My situation can change. You just don't know the hell I've been living in. No, I don't know the hell you've been living in. But I know the hell you can be delivered from.
Yes.
How do I know? Because I went through some hell. And He delivered me. And there's other people in this same room that's been through some hells that they lived through. And the power of God delivered them. And it can do it. It can do it again.
Yes.
It can do it again. So do you think that God had strategically that day while Catherine was sitting on this bench so broken that He had this grandmother with her granddaughter coming up on the other side and they were speaking words of life? Because everybody in a dark place needs to see that things can change.
Yes.
They change for somebody else. They can change for me.
Yes.
Will I be identified with that one that will allow that change to come into my life? Now, one of the ways that's got to happen for change to come into our life is to allow the picture to change, or to allow the Word of God to present something that's different. Because the paramedics, when they came and they saw that little girl sitting, laying on the side of the pool, blue, drowned, life gone out. And this father cries out to God, "Jesus, I'm a tiger." You would never think that that would be something that you would say when you were dealing with somebody being raised from the dead, would you? See, here's something that ties in. Faithfulness in one area will position you for faithfulness in another.
Amen.
And if we're just got a lifestyle of being slack, when it comes down time to do something for God, you don't want that slack.
No.
Because they've got outcomes. They've got outcomes. And God's calling us up so that those outcomes. And He says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. They are mighty through God. They ain't just natural. Well, this is the way that the natural progression of this works out. I understand about the natural progression. You're a professional in talking about natural progression in the way that it works out. But thank God we ain't got to be limited to just natural progression.
Amen.
They that know their God shall do exploits.
Thank you.
Smith Wigglesworth was used that day to do an exploit because he believed his God. Not because he was a Christian. Those other people were Christians. Christians, brothers and sisters, have a full gamut, a broad spectrum of what they believe and what they don't believe. And I can tell us this. When our believing ain't in line with the Word of God, we've got the wrong belief. Let me say that again, because that's good preaching right there. If our believing is not lined up with the Word of God, then we've got the wrong belief. How in the world can you say that? Brothers and sisters, don't exalt your mind above the mind of God. And don't exalt what you believe over what God believes. And when God's Word presents something a certain way, say, "Yep, I believe that. I might have believed this for 30 years and saw that I hadn't seen it. But when I saw it in the Word of God, I said, that's what I believe." Yeah, but my identity has been in this. Our identity needs to be in Christ. And brothers and sisters, there will be some things for us to walk in the victory in that we will have to cast down. I like what one preacher said. He said, I slap it down. There will be things that come in your mind, and there will be things that have made place in your head that are just as real to you as everything that I say to us from the Word of God. Just as real to you. But if we want to have the outcome that God's got for us, we're going to have to change what we believe and make our believing line up with Him. Because He ain't getting on the page with us. We're going to have to get on the page with Him. He's already perfect in all of His ways. If He's perfect in all of His ways, then I need to get on the page with perfect.
Amen?
Amen? Casting down imaginations and every high thing. High thing. You know that sometimes this happens with men and women, married people. You would never think that. Anybody ever know any married people that ever had a squabble? Ever had a squabble? And sometimes what goes on in squabbles, the issue ain't the issue at all. What becomes the issue is, I have got to be right. I must be preaching to the choir. I have got to be right. I just got to be right. Have you found out yet that you can be right and still be wrong?
Amen.
Have you found out that you can be right and still be wrong? Or you can think you can be right and still be wrong. Now, let me bring this thing on home a little bit. Because we ain't right until we're on the same page with Jesus. And we ain't right until we're on the same page with Jesus and we've got the same spirit that Jesus had when He was right on that page. Let that one soak just a little bit. There's a lot of people that's been divorced because they had to prove that they were right. And you know what? They're still alone. They might be married and still alone. That's a paradox. That's two dogs. Because God's after changing something on the inside. And when we allow God to change something on the inside, and one of the biggest things that's got to change, and I demonstrated this one time before, but I want to leave us with this picture today. Sandy, I want you to come up here. Holly, I want you to come up here. It's a family affair. Now, each one of us has a particular role that we're going to play in this scenario. Sandy, this morning, gets to be my spirit. Holly, this morning, gets to be my flesh. I'm caught in the middle of these two, and I am my soul.
You ready to duck?
Now, this is where all of the reasoning and all of the imagination center is based, right here with me. Now, I've got born again So now my spirit man is alive. Give me alive.
Hallelujah.
My flesh has been ruling me all of my life. And we've been going places and doing things that we ain't had no business doing. Now, since my spirit man's been made alive, he's saying, we ain't going there no more. We have made a change. We ain't going there no more. And my flesh is saying, we've been doing this a long time, and we're going to keep on doing this. Now, one of the two is going to win, because what's happened, I'm caught in the middle. My mind, my soul is caught in the middle. What in the world am I going to do? If I keep going this way, what I'm going to find out is that my spirit man becomes quite weakened, and my flesh becomes great, much great. You remember Jesus saying words like this, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Why was the spirit weak? I mean the flesh weak? Because the flesh had been given rule. The flesh had been given rule. They were catching a whole other way of thinking. Jesus is presenting something to them that can lead them into victory. The Apostle Paul is saying something here to the church that can lead them into victory. But a lot of times what we'd rather have is the familiarity of doing the things that we've always done, even though it don't work. I still want to do it this way. It's like, how stupid could I be? It don't work, but I still want to do it. Let me say it again. It don't work, but I still want to do it. And my spirit man is saying, why do you keep going around that same bush? Why are you dragging this thing out so long and making this so hard for you? Because my spirit man is on the page with Jesus. See, you'll never be on the page with Jesus until you're on the page with him in his word. You won't have to worry about being in the spirit. You might be somewhere and you might have some spirit. But the only spirit that you're going to have from God is going to line up with his word. Mm-hmm. It's going to line up with his word. Because he's going to lead us in all truth. And you give me a little kick in the screen. Little kick in the screen, but throw in your hand like a give me a tantrum. Give me a tantrum. I was imagining it like this. Danger, Will Robertson. Danger, Will Robertson.
I don't know who Will Robertson is.
He was lost in space. For those of you who don't know, there was a TV show that was called Lost in Space. And there was this family, and there were some other people that were there on. They were in a flying saucer. And one of the main, well, there were several main characters, but they had a robot. And it was like a great big round washing machine, sort of. And he had flexible arms that would do like this, and lights that would go around like this and kind of propel itself around. But any time that there would be danger that would come, you'd see his hands fly up like this here. And he would say these words, danger, Will Robertson, danger. So. That was the picture, because our flesh don't want to submit. See, there's something about flesh, whether it's yours or whether it's mine or whether it's anybody else's, hates this word, submit. But Jesus takes it on a little bit farther, and the Apostle Paul has light and revelation on this. He says, you got to crucify your flesh. You got, if you're going to walk in victory in your life, there's going to be flesh that's got to be crucified. It's been the boss. If you're 50 years old, it's been the boss for 50 years. And if you're 70 years old, it's been the boss for 70 years. And if you find yourself anywhere in between or on a whole different number, your flesh has been the boss. But God's showing us another way of walking and a way to walk in victory. See, just because you've walked does not mean you have walked in victory. And if you've not been walking in victory, you've got to admit, maybe God's got some more insight on this, and maybe I don't know quite as much as I thought I do. Maybe it would do good for me to hear instead of doing all the talking. Because the flesh just wants to talk. But the flesh says the wrong things. My spirit man, as I'm feeding on the Word of God, becomes strong and has an influence. On my mind. How can I cast down reasonings and imaginations? Because my flesh will paint all of these here pictures. It will tell me all of the things. You're missing out on this. That's one of the things that, you know, it's always presented about the church. Young people, they said, I don't want to go to church. I don't want to be a Christian because Christians don't never have no fun. You ever heard that lie? Has that lie ever been told to you? Christians don't never have no fun. Well, I want to tell you, I've been a Christian for close to 50 years. I've had fun a good portion of my life. I didn't have the same fun that you had. But the same fun, the fun that I had didn't leave me with a hangover, and it didn't leave me with an overdose, and it didn't leave me with hollow places and holes in my life because of following after those things. Casting down imaginations or reasonings. Because your flesh is still wanting to tell you it's the best way. But the revelation that the Apostle Paul says, he said, I crucify the flesh. I don't just make it submit. I put it to death. You say, David, you want me to go kill myself? That's not what he's saying. A lot of times, see, because it's written like that, because the imagination, when it catches words, it starts painting pictures of these words. And think that's the way that it's got to be. What he said, I crucify, not me, I crucify the flesh. Or I don't give it place. I bring it into subjection. I will not let it rule me, I rule it. Why do I need to do that? Because my flesh is incapable of leading me in a spiritual way. But my spirit man is. And we find ourselves sort of like the Apostle Paul when it come to the end of his life. He said, I find myself in a strait betwixt two. This is before you ever get to the end of your life. You find yourself in a strait betwixt two, between two. The spirit man is gets its feeding from the Word of God. The flesh gets its feeding from what goes on in this world. Which one do you think is going to lead you closer to God? Which one do you think is going to lead you closer to God? And he says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And another way that you could say that is against exalts itself against the Word of God. Jesus has got victory for us, brothers and sisters, that He wants us to walk in. He wants us to overcome in life. He wants us to be the victorious ones. Did you know that we have more to do with that than we think that we do? The outcome was different when Smith Wigglesworth was in that room because he put down his flesh and he listened to his spirit. The outcome was different with that girl that was caught by the hair in the swimming pool. But the outcome could have been different by the preacher if he would have listened to the voice of God instead of listening to his reasoning to talk him out of it. Have you ever been talked out? Whether you want to admit it or not, I dare say every one of us has. And many times. So if you haven't done it, you can't pin no trophy on yourself or no ribbon on yourself and say, glory to God, he couldn't talk about me. Brothers and sisters, the victory that he wants us to walk in. Let hope rise up in our heart. My situation can change. God can do this for me. If he did it for them, he can do it for me. And then when faith kicks in and says, not only can he do it for me, he will do it for me. And I'm walking toward it. Amen? Stand with me. I'm going to tell you one thing. Whether y'all know it or not, I have got a beautiful body. My flesh is pretty. My soul is pretty. And my spirit is pretty. Thank you, Lord. Father, we submit ourselves to you. We submit ourselves to your word. Father, show us things. There's things that need to come alive in your word to us. I ask that you open up the eyes of our heart, that we would see it, that we would comprehend it. Because I believe your word will transform my life. I believe that your word will renew my mind. And things that I have believed about myself that's been lies, just bald-faced lies about myself, I choose to believe the higher. I choose to believe the greater. And I thank you that my situation and my circumstance is subject to change because of the revelation of God's word and his spirit in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.